Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today. We talk a lot about GMOs on the program, and today we're going to dive more into the health implications of GMO exposure with Dr. Gene I. Ridley. He's a naturopath and an herbalist, a natural health care physician, and he's going to help us understand what these GMOs can do to us. Hello, Dr. Ridley. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Well, thank you, and hello.
It's so nice to have you on. You know, we talk a lot about GMOs, but for people who are new to the show or new to learning about them, what exactly is a GMO and why is it something that you don't want in your food? Or if it's in there, you want to know about it.
Well, GMOs are foods that have generally have transgenetic material from other species implanted into their gene structure, such as, just for an example, frog genes in a tomato was a popular one back in the day. To keep flies away. And this transgenetic material and the process of putting it into the host food leaves undesirable agents that we really don't want in our system, such as pesticides like glyphosate is a popular one, or toxins from BT, a bacterium called Bacterium thuringiensis. Some of these things are put into foods, and they continue to be a viable life form and express their traits and characteristics within us, which causes a reaction from our own systems, which is trying to keep our systems free of these agents. And what I mean by that is we might have an immune reaction, which could exhibit itself as mucus production, as just a feeling of fatigue or sneezing, the same as food allergies. And many people who have food allergies and are eating GMOs still categorize their symptoms that they may experience as being allergy-related and treat them therewith. Whereas a more up-to-date understanding of what's going on with food may be in order so that you could make a better choice and avoiding it and the symptoms as well.
Now that makes sense. What I'm curious about, Dr. Ridley, is okay, so if I go to the store and let's say I can't afford the organic, so I'm going to buy the non-organic, but then there's special sprays like natural things you can do to like wash off the vegetables or the fruits really well, unless they're, you know, part of the Dirty Dozen or the clean, you know, part of the Dirty Dozen, but you want, you know, you people can look that up. So my question is, it's obviously worse than the GMO is worse because they're putting the pesticide into it, and so you can't just wash it off, right? You can't really like scrub it or use a natural spray. Okay.
Correct. That will not work. It's incorporated directly into the tissue of the plant, into its very cellular structure. So again, it becomes not that plant. It's no longer a broccoli. It's by FDA law, it's called a genetically modified organism, and that kind of takes it really out of the food realm, because there are certain criteria foods have to meet, and GMOs really don't do that, but I won't get into that. So, no, you can't wash this away. You can't really negate it in any known way that I'm aware of.
Now, what do you say to the naysayers? Because I've seen a lot on the other side, too. And what do you think their motivation is?
Well, I think people should try and avoid eating GMOs for a day or two, and then knowingly eat a GMO, and then start and do that two or three times, and try and correlate symptoms that they may experience from eating that particular food, and then form a better basis for deciding whether or not it's viable. It's a viable issue or not, or contra, you know, whatever their position is. In other words, they need more information instead of just blindly trusting their belief system in a system that maybe isn't doing all that they think the system is doing. In other words, they should use an empirical system or methodology to elucidate whether or not these GMO foods are harming them and causing reactions, because they do cause immediate reactions often when a person's out eating any type of meal and all of a sudden you're not feeling well, or you start to go down or your vision blurs, because these foods have been documented to contain components or chemicals that affect our immune systems and our endocrine systems. Like they have hormonal interrupters or interferers, and we exhibit results right away when we are exposed to these foods.
It can be anywhere. It's interesting, Dr. Lee. I was thinking about... Oh, I was sorry to interrupt. I was thinking, though, about how similar this is to when you have food sensitivities and you do a rotation diet. My mother had severe food sensitivities, and so she would do the thing where you take out all the allergens, right?
Correct.
And then she would slowly add them back in, and then she'd go, oh, I just ate corn. I got a rash. Oh, I just had meat. I'm bloated, you know? And so it sounds like, okay, so it's the same kind of thing. But the problem is if they're not labeling them, then we don't know, right? Isn't that the whole issue, that if they're not going to label it, we're just going to be clueless about what's going on, unless it says organic, correct?
Well, no, purportedly, but even organic things labeled organic have been known to contain GMO foods. In fact, growers used to grow broccoli that was genetically modified and organically grown. Now, supposedly that's been straightened out, but I don't trust it wholly, because it's a system and anything could go wrong in the system.
So then, what do you buy? How do you know what to do if you're not sure?
I try and avoid the foods. I try and avoid eating out. I try and avoid foods that I know that are known to be genetically modified. And I try and choose ethnic foods where I can. And foods, again, that aren't known to be genetically modified.
Foods that are commonly genetically modified? Corn and soy, I know. What else?
Canola, corn, soy, squash. There's a pineapple that's genetically modified. Not all pineapples. There's a specific one. Golden rice is still out there or not. That purportedly was to give more vitamin A. All these foods, I mean, it sounds good, but again, these foods have... Foods with pesticides, no matter who you are, you have to realize that if the food has a pesticide, there may be something questionable about it. Or if the food has other things in it that are non-food foods, such as bacterium or the bacterium toxin, BT toxin, or glyphosate, then it's not a food. It can't go undergo the processes that a food has to undergo to be classified as a food scientifically.
Oh, you know, you're going to have to come back because we have more time, but I want to give you more time next time. Tell us a little bit before we close today about your herbal formula to address the symptoms of ill health that can be coming from eating GMOs.
Well, yeah, we produced a formula that's been in use for about 4 years. We make all our formulas here on site to respond to symptoms that people may experience, and we've done this over 20 years. And when the GMO debacle hit the scene, and we started seeing people exhibiting more gastrointestinal problems, and we surmised that it was due to the GMO exposure. So we developed this particular formula, which works very well to correct them. Everyone that uses it lauds its effectiveness in getting rid of symptoms they may experience while eating after eating GMO foods, such as bloating, diarrhea, or constantly feeling of malaise, foggy vision, blurry vision, and brain fog. And the formula helps to correct that immediately, certainly within an hour.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Ridley, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much. People can learn more about this by going to herbalsolutions.net. Dr. Ridley, thank you so much for coming on the show. I learned a ton. I'm so glad you're listening to Naturally Savvy. Listen anytime for going to radiomd.com. Go ahead and look up Naturally Savvy. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD and @NaturallySavvy. And stay well. Thank you so much for listening.